of one another, that we are, making sure that not only are we taking care of Pastor Jeff, and that you have taken care of Pastor Jeff through a successful surgery and for his recovery, but that, that we, a family of God, are taking care of one another. And as far as families go, Lord, I thank you for safe travels for my mother, for getting here, and for thank you for just the being able to take care of our families and our children and spending time with them. And I pray this all in the name of him who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We'll open up our worship hymnals to 452. Stand up for Jesus. So tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day. Although I use celebrate kind of loosely here. I mean, really, tomorrow is not so much a celebration as a commemoration. I mean, it's meant to be a day of remembrance for those soldiers, those sailors, those airmen, those Marines who died in combat in service to this nation. And interestingly enough, and I'm going to geek out here a little bit on you, and this is in the name, I didn't realize this until doing the research on this, General John A. Logan. This is a name back in, I guess, the town I grew up in, and I went to high school. John A. Logan. John A. Logan organized a National Day of Remembrance for the Northern Civil War veterans. It was designated for the purpose of strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion and whose bodies now lie in almost every city, village, and hamlet, churchyard in the land. And that was his words here. And then in 1968, Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act, which established Memorial Day as the last Monday in May in response to the commemoration of World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, and now commemorates Iraq and Afghanistan. And for those of us who had raised our right hand, especially for me at 17, going, what am I doing? And I'm still wondering when I'm doing that 31 years later, but neither here nor there, right? For anyone, one of us that we raised our right hand, that we signed essentially a blank check to the United States government that was up to our, up and including our very lives, that our blood could have been spilt on the altar of this country. You mean any one of us veterans that survived today could very well have had our lives remembered on this day. And I was very conscious of that when I deployed with the 28th Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade, up here at the Gap, all the helicopters, right? I deployed as a battalion chaplain. And just the days, just the days before that we deployed, all us chaplains decided to get together and have a night of worship for all the soldiers that wanted that. And at the very end of it, I created what was, and I developed this, and I've only ever used this once, but I called it the Litany of War. And it began with the 144th Psalm, and it was also, responsive readings and all that. And just as I've been through the 144th Psalm, and I've used this even in change of commands, and then, being able to listen to the 144th, and I want, and I'm going to recite the whole thing to you. And I don't want you to follow along. I just want you to listen, okay? Because when having been keyed in on this psalm, it goes through essentially the warrior's journey, and I'll explain more of that when I get further here. But again, I just want you to reflect upon this. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. O Lord, what is man that you regard him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is like a breath, his days are like a passing shadow. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains so that they smoke. Flash forth the lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and rout them. Stretch out your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me from the many waters and from the hand of the foreigners, whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is the right hand of falseness. And I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a 10-string harp I will play to you, who gives victory to kings, who rescues David and his servant from the cruel sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners whose mouths speak lies and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. And may our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut out for the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and tens of thousands in our field. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people whom the blessings fall, and blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. So those last four verses. So those last four verses are the reasons why we have served those who have died in service. It's what we were hoping for. It's what we're fighting for. Not for ourselves, if not for ourselves, then for those whom we love. I mean, let's be honest, for those of us that serve, we serve not because, not because really of a flag. I mean, yes, kind of, but not really. We fight for our left, we fight for our right, we fight for the ones at home. Not for an idea, but for people. And so how is it then this Memorial Day, and quite honestly, every day, do we honor that sacrifice? I think the best way to start is also to remember another great sacrifice that was accomplished for us in another war that is most important for all people. The Apostle John records in the 15th chapter the words of Jesus, which said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he will give you. These things I have commanded you so that you will love one another." And so this war then was the war between then the triumph of good over evil, of God over the devil, where Jesus sacrificed himself so that we might be saved. But as Jesus stated in this, that while he was more than willing to sacrifice himself for our lives, he called us to action in response to his sacrifice. And the same can also be said of those who have sacrificed themselves on the field of battle. How do we honor Jesus? How do we honor the military dead? By honoring the living Christ who said, "You are my friends if you do what I command you to do." Unfortunately, even in my own experience, it feels like there's so much lip service. When we say that we're grateful for these sacrifices. I mean, what I mean by this is that, back in 1990 is when I enlisted in the United States Army. And I remember putting on the uniform and doing all that stuff through the 90s. And I tell you what, there was some holdover from hate towards the Vietnam vets. I know that I didn't get the verbal abuse that the Vietnam vets did, but I certainly got the stink eye. Why would you do that? Right? I mean, imagine my surprise. I mean, it was just after a commission to become a chaplain candidate. I was going somewhere in uniform and someone said, "Thank you for your service." And I'm like, "What?" I mean, it had been what? 15 years of military service, and I'm finally now getting someone thanking for my service. And every time I hear it, even to this day, it feels just so like so much window dressing. And I know that the younger generation likes it, but I certainly know that my generation and the Vietnam vet generation, we just don't know what to do with it, or we just don't like it. Because it feels hollow. It feels so much of, how are you, when you pass somebody in the hallway and you ask how, when someone says, "How are you?" But they're not expecting an answer. They don't want to spend time to find out that you're not doing well. It feels the same way. And we as a nation, we seem to take, for granted all these sacrifices that are given on our behalf. Service members who have died on the field of battle, our Lord and Savior dying on the cross. Why do these sacrifices mean so little to us? We need to take the words of Jesus very, very seriously. Especially, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." So what is it he's commanded? I mean, I found that especially in my work at the Veterans Affairs, taking care of vets, that I have, and as I'm working with older vets, and working with vets at the end of their lives, that I'm, and my theology being worked through that, I have found my theology being now more and more focused and filtered through two commandments. And especially when I'm, when I'm doing my weekday services, I'm always getting my veterans to sit there and, do the pop quiz. Pop quiz, what's the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with your entire being. And the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, Jesus explains this quite clearly when he was being questioned by Jewish lawyers, as recorded in Matthew. A lawyer asking Jesus, in a question to test him, he says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Well, he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And furthermore, Jesus amended the second commandment, if you weren't quite aware. He amended the second commandment on the night of his betrayal when he stated, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Jesus calls us to honor his sacrifice. He calls us in the form of a commandment that loving one another is not optional. That if we accept Jesus and all that he's done, you know, done for us, we are to love God with our entire being. And to love God is to love others in the same way that he has loved us first. And oh, by the way, loving others is not loving people just like us, that look like us, sound like us, think like us. It is loving people that we can't stand. It is loving people that irritate us. It is loving people who are our enemies. It is loving people that don't deserve it. Because why do, you know, because we do not deserve the love of God. For as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Rome, for while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. You know, and in all of this, you know, there's, you know, for the, you know, what I bring up these stories, right? But there's one story that I always seem to go back to that demonstrates this love of Jesus. Ten lepers come up to Jesus and they say, "Master, heal us." What does Jesus say to them? See, that's the interesting part. He doesn't say a thing to them. He doesn't ask them if they're good men. He doesn't ask them if they're, you know, if they're good Jews, if they tithe. He doesn't ask them if they deserve it. He heals them. He just heals them. No questions. And only one comes back to worship God. Jesus always leads with mercy and healing. That is how, you know, and these for people that don't deserve his love, and he shows it to them anyway because he does love them. So how do we then, it goes back to the same question, how do we honor Jesus? How do we honor those who have sacrificed themselves for this country? I mean, we to honor the dream of David, which is to dream that all who have served, that may our sons in their youth be like plants full grown, our daughters like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. May our granaries be full, providing all kinds of produce. May our sheep bring forth thousands and tens of thousands in our field. May our cattle be heavy with young, suffering no mishap or failure in bearing. May there be no cry of distress in our streets. Blessed are the people in whom such blessings fall, and blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. So how do we get to that? We honor God, we honor the dead by being good citizens. But where does our citizenship begin with? The kingdom of God. That is our first citizenship. And then our second citizenship is as American citizens. We honor the dead by honoring the Lord. We live out the commandments of Jesus by loving God, and to love God is to love one another in the same way that Jesus has loved us first. By being a healing presence, by compassion, by mercy, by forgiveness. Especially for those that don't deserve it. For we do not deserve the grace that God extended to us through the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross. So tomorrow, when you light those grills, and I'll be doing the same thing tomorrow, don't you worry, I got some ribs in there. when you're spending time, you know, with your families, I want you to contemplate how to honor the memory of our fallen warriors and to honor the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. And I want you to learn and contemplate that by what we say, by what we do, how we live our lives, not just tomorrow, but each and every day. By the lives we live is how we honor both. Amen. Let us pray. Most wonderful Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you that you have decided, that you decided to walk among us, that you decided to teach us, that you decided to throw open the gates of heaven by sacrificing yourself for us. And I ask, Lord, that you help us honor your sacrifice and the sacrifice of those that are there to secure our freedoms, that, Lord, that you help us live our lives in a manner that's pleasing to you, that we're able to take care of our neighbors, that we're able to take care of our community, that we're able to take care of the foreigner and the sojourner, that we're able to show your love to all the world. And I pray this in your most wonderful name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us rise and open up our worship hymnals now to number 483. There is joy in serving Jesus. And let us close in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for your word and spirit through which we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. May those who confess your name today never cease to wonder at what you have done for them. Help them to continue firmly in the faith, to bear witness to your love, and let the Holy Spirit shape their lives. Take them, Good Shepherd, into your care, that they may loyally endure opposition they may face as they serve you. And may we, with all your children, live together in the joy and the power of your Holy Spirit. And may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.